Hello, I'm Jennifer Vail, and I'm a tribologist. Tribology is the science of interacting surfaces in relative motion, and as tribologists, one of the things we study is the physical force of friction. Even though my career has focused on friction, as I wrote my book, Friction, A Biography, even I was surprised by some of the key insights. The first insight is to rethink the antagonist. Friction is not something we generally have a positive association with. As a force, it opposes motion and dissipates the energy of motion. It's resistance. It works against us. It slows us down. Not exactly a great reputation builder. As students in physics, teachers will always start with problems by saying, ignore friction, to simplify the problem. This further ingrains to us, even at a young age, that friction is a nuisance. It's complicated and it's a pain to deal with. It may be complicated, but to classify friction as an antagonist is a mistake. It's all about perspective and framing the situation you are in objectively. If you're driving and you need to brake, friction is absolutely our hero. Even moving the car forward requires friction. Without the friction between the tire and the road, the tire would just spin around without creating the traction required to push the car forward. By writing friction off as our enemy, we miss opportunities that exist by embracing it and the exploration of understanding it, and of course the rewards that come with that exploration and understanding. Because even in situations where we want to reduce or minimize friction, of which there are plenty of examples, clever solutions have been born that otherwise wouldn't exist. Some of these are ubiquitous to everyday life and even have uses outside mitigating and controlling friction, like WD-40, a lubricant that people have also used to remove gum from their clothing. We have also developed coatings that can withstand extreme environments, like space, so that parts can move more efficiently, or just plain old work, even in the presence of punishing temperatures and radiation. Stoppers and syringes have been designed to have just enough friction to stay put until pressed, but have low enough friction to plunge easily and smoothly during an injection, something we can all appreciate, but was actually a pretty good scientific achievement. So from fire to wheels to even things like hunting dark matter, this so-called antagonist has certainly done a lot to move us forward. Flexing our thinking brings us directly to insight number two, challenge the status quo. A lot of great minds found themselves deep diving into friction, which is a testament to the importance of friction. A common theme among these great minds was them pushing back against widely held beliefs about the world around them. Their determination in understanding the physical world, even when this meant causing societal pushback, advanced our understanding of friction and has kept us from being at a literal standstill. Leonardo da Vinci, among the many titles he has, is one of the founders of tribology. He is renowned for his relentless curiosity. Da Vinci pushed against widely held medical and scientific beliefs. His turn as a tribologist stemmed from the many machines he worked on inventing, including pursuing a perpetual motion machine. Perpetual motion machines throughout history have been widely sought after. Da Vinci, however, concluded that it would be impossible to achieve a perpetual motion machine thanks to friction. He developed the first tribometers, instruments to study friction, and his notebooks contain sketches of these tribometers, details of his results, and his work would lead him to some of our laws of friction. He knew that friction didn't depend on the size of an object, but the weight sure mattered. And he realized that there were ways to lower friction, but in the end, friction was there. A perpetual motion machine was a fruitless endeavor. But Da Vinci is hardly the only renegade in the story of friction. Galileo and his discovery of inertia are keys to our journey with understanding friction. Galileo was so good at challenging the status quo that he eventually found himself charged with heresy. But Galileo's scientific ideas were correct. Inertia is critical in explaining why Earth can be in constant motion, orbiting around the sun in a heliocentric universe without us noticing it or even flying off the face of Earth. Newton would later document this as the first law of motion, and it is foundational physics to the understanding of our universe. This theme continues through others who have helped us understand friction. You could say that those studying friction had a tendency to rub the status quo the wrong way. Osborne Reynolds would redefine our understanding of how fluids flow. Heinrich Hertz, over his Christmas break one year, would boggle minds by explaining how even glass spheres could deform in contact and then return to their original shape when you separated them, a type of behavior previously only considered with softer, springier materials. Da Vinci may have been our first documented tribologist, but his work was largely unknown until more modern times. Which brings us to our third insight. Communication is the key to innovation. Despite Da Vinci's meticulous note-keeping, he didn't publish his findings, so no one knew about these so-called laws of friction. His notebooks were largely undiscovered until centuries later, with the most recent of the findings being as late as the 1960s. The first laws of friction wouldn't become public knowledge for 200 years after Da Vinci, when Guillaume Amontons essentially redid the same work. Amontons himself was again inspired by perpetual motion. Fortunately, this time for science, Amontons did share his results with the world. Other discoveries in the world of friction tell the same tale. A fluid's resistance to flow, its internal friction, was studied by a Frenchman named Poiseuille, and separately by a German engineer named Hagen. Poiseuille is the far more famous of these two men, with the unit of viscosity actually being named after him. A famous equation relating viscosity to flow rate and pressure was referred to as Poiseuille's equation for years, simply because he published in a more widely known journal. Hagen had actually shared the same findings from his own independent work at least 1 year prior, but he didn't really become recognized for it until about 40 years later in the 1920s. And in the 20th century, the same would happen again with another significant fluid study. In tribology, there's a tool we use known as a Strybeck curve. It's used to understand the friction in lubricated machine parts under different loads, speeds, and fluid viscosities. It's named after German Richard Strybeck, even though similar work was done decades earlier by his fellow German Adolf Martens. The takeaway? Innovation is only half the battle. Communicating what you've discovered is just as important. Our fourth insight is to embrace the small things. Sometimes, incremental improvements are frowned upon. We want big, mind-blowing leaps forward. But we should always embrace progress, incremental included. A 2011 study found that nearly a third of the fuel we were putting in our cars was being spent to overcome friction. Even removing necessary friction, like the braking and tire friction mentioned earlier, there was still a significant amount of waste due to friction. But since 2011, the fuel efficiency of internal combustion engine vehicles has improved steadily, despite the fact that cars are becoming larger and more powerful. This is due to incremental improvements that have been lowering the friction in our cars. And when you start to multiply the effects of this over the number of cars and trucks on the roads, it adds up to a big impact. It's estimated that tribological improvements with our cars have the ability to save almost 300 million tons of CO2 emissions over the span of 5 years. That is not a small number. So even though we started with small incremental changes and progress to improve the friction in our vehicles, it is adding up to a big, significant impact. So never underestimate the power of small changes. And just as we should embrace the small things, in a similar vein, we should not ignore the invisible. Which brings us to insight number 5. The invisible can be powerful. Throughout our journey with friction, one thing is very clear. Despite what they may tell you in school when you first start in physics, don't ignore friction. It is a very powerful force, and ignoring it would lead to a violation of Newton's laws of motion. And if engineers actually did ignore friction, nothing we would design would work. Forces are invisible, but just because you can't see them doesn't mean they aren't there. And beyond simply being a part of the physics that make our world work, by acknowledging the invisible, we may also uncover answers to some of our biggest unsolved scientific mysteries. A team from the Education University of Hong Kong found indirect evidence of dark matter surrounding black holes simply by factoring friction into their work. They were studying the orbits of two different stars that are each companion stars to black holes. The orbits of the stars were decaying, meaning that eventually the black holes would consume the stars. When the team calculated the decay rate, their results were significantly smaller than the actual measured decay rate. But once they factored in a type of friction called dynamical friction, the calculations were spot on. This dynamical friction would be caused by the dark matter that had been theorized to surround black holes. Our first indirect evidence of the dark matter surrounding black holes is brought to you by not ignoring friction. And inside our own bodies, scientists have wondered what role friction plays in things like the folding of proteins. Proteins are the building blocks of life and are formed from chains of amino acids that fold into 3D structures. But the folding isn't always successful, resulting in misfolded proteins that can be toxic to us. These misfolded proteins have been associated with diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. So researchers are working to understand what causes misfolded proteins. This way they can develop prevention or treatment. And to understand the misfolding, they have to consider all the factors that play into the folding. And one factor may be friction. After all, it's a dynamic process, so friction will be present. But where does it originate? How much does it contribute to the folding process? These are the type of questions we are seeking to answer in our quest to explore friction and to not ignore the invisible. Friction is not our enemy. It's there, and when we approach it correctly, it's a powerful tool that has helped us evolve as a civilization and will continue to do so. I hope you enjoy learning about our journey with friction, and thank you for listening.